It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9 to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna for the Calgary Sport and Social Club. Try a new sport this spring and join a league or tournament. Register at calgarysportsclub.com.
It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
I think I slept less than 3 hours last night.
Oh, is that a great feeling?
Ugh. Awful. Look over the clock and it's like 1 something and you're like, I gotta be up right away.
Yeah. I was wired last night, so that kind of happens at this time of the year I find, though, like with the sun out longer, and I kind of just get excited. It's nice out, and yeah, it's sleep is for the weak.
Oh, man.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So a provincial election has been called.
Yes.
April 16th, which means that we will have two big elections within 6 months of each other this year.
It's going to be dramatic.
Of course, the provincial election and the federal election in October. And I've already, it is going to be dramatic. And I get up for this kind of thing. Like, I love following it. I love watching the results on election night.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to be careful because you can get swallowed into some of the toxic comments and stuff.
For sure. I'm a new man, though. Remember, after my social media cleanse, I'm a new man. I don't get hung up on that stuff anymore.
That's good.
I can browse it, and then I can just take a step back.
That's good.
I saw a lot of people already complaining, like, with these elections so close to each other, and they're already quite contentious. Like, people are saying, oh, our social media feeds are going to be a wasteland over the next little while. And, I mean, they're probably right. We're already kind of seeing it. You know, people talking about how we're all going to be doomed if the wrong person or the wrong party gets in.
To be fair, it was toxic even before the election was called. Like, it's been toxic online regarding the election and you know, politics for quite some time.
And the government and the opposition. Yeah. And absolutely. I think that's... I never like hearing that talk because I think this is a great place no matter what and no matter who's running it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, you can take a step back if social media gets to be too much during the election.
Yeah.
Because it might. I mean, we all know people who are loud and proud about their opinions, and it can be frustrating. So just log off.
See, I'll do this thing that's called scrolling. So I take my mouse and I scroll. And then when I see things that I don't like, I keep scrolling.
You don't like to mix it up?
Right. And then sometimes I'll read, you know, into things if I say, like, I wonder what they're saying. And then if I don't like, I'll just keep scrolling, you know? And then if I like it, I'll read further.
You don't ever comment, do you? You never get in there.
Not with politics.
No.
No. No, I will not get into the dirty things with politics.
It's a terrible venue to have those discussions in, I think.
That's just it. And I feel like a lot of people don't want to hear it. Like, no one wants to read your comments unless they just want to get fired up further. Right. I don't think it's beneficial in any way to comment on politics online.
Unless you want to get your jimmies rustled.
Exactly.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Which some people are.
Recreational jimmy
rustling. Yes.
It's recreational outrage.
It is.
I think you should talk to people in real life.
Yes.
Like, talk to other Albertans, talk to other Canadians and see what they think. And I think they're... You know, they say you shouldn't talk about things like politics and religion and money and that. But I think there are ways to have those conversations with certain people.
Level-headed. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, find someone whose opinion you respect and who you know isn't going to get too worked up. Even someone whose opinion differs greatly from yours. Mm-hmm. And talk to them about it.
Yes.
Like, have a real conversation.
Yes.
That is a better way to do it than... On social media.
And understand that you can have differences. That's the other thing, right? Sometimes people get really fired up because all they want to do then is change your opinion. And they believe that that's what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you should have a civil discussion and you could weigh both points and then
listen.
Move on. Yeah.
Listen.
That's it.
Because the way social media is built, it puts us into these echo chambers. Like, we choose them ourselves, but it also, the algorithms are pushing you into echo chambers and showing you what it thinks you want to see.
Yeah.
So it's not healthy. It's not a good way to talk about that sort of thing. Our station's website, justvotedammit.com, is live now.
Yes.
So if you need any information about where to vote, who is running, who is currently representing your area, all of that stuff, how to register, that is all at justvotedammit.com.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I've got a conspiracy.
Okay. Do you want the music?
Yes, please.
Welcome to Conspiracy Corner, your platform for outlandish conspiracy theories.
Okay, so MySpace, of course, recently lost these 12 years worth of music due to a glitch in their data migration to a new server, they said, right?
Mm-hmm. We talked about this yesterday, wasn't
it? We did. So a lot of programmers and IT people have been saying since this happened that there was no way they didn't have a backup. And even if they didn't, there would definitely be a way for them to recover at least some of the lost music. So a lot of people have been accusing MySpace of just getting rid of all this data because they couldn't be bothered to move it all back because it would take too much time or they didn't have the resources or whatever. I think MySpace is using this all as a marketing ploy. So they've temporarily lost all of this data to start all this discussion about them. Because let's face it, when's the last time you talked about MySpace before this?
Like, talked about them seriously?
Yeah.
Not for a long time.
They haven't been relevant in ages.
No.
So they're using this as kind of an outrage tactic, right? Because they've gotten everybody talking about them, reminiscing about the music they used to have and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to announce that they actually did recover all of the music. Okay, so then once again, people are going to be like, oh, you recovered it. And then they're kind of a hero. And from there, they're going to launch their own music site.
Interesting.
They're going to bring it back.
This is your theory, hey?
This is my theory.
So all the songs from these bands that you loved when you were growing up and you listened to on MySpace, and probably only on MySpace,
because
it's probably the only place you could find it at the time.
Yes.
A lot of that stuff wouldn't be on iTunes, wouldn't be on Spotify.
Yeah.
And then they're going to say, like, hey, we have it all here for you in a convenient streaming service.
A new, brand new service.
This is a long shot,
mm-hmm.
but if you're right, you are going to look like a genius.
Well, it's genius on their part. Like, that's why I was like, they should, if they haven't thought of it, they should be getting on it right now, because again, everybody's talking about them again. And most people are like, yeah, I used to explore a lot of music on MySpace. It used to be a thing.
Right.
Everybody already knows their name. Go and watch the site.
You could spend your money to promote the new service, or you could just say, hey, we lost all the data. Well, everyone runs the story. Everybody talks about it like we did.
Yeah.
And that's your free publicity.
Yep.
Hmm. Well, I guess time will tell if you're right or not, Shauna.
Big juicy steak in this one.
It's plausible. It's definitely plausible.
What are we giving this on the scale, you think?
The plausibility scale?
Yeah.
Out of 10, how many fake MySpace friends out of 10 do you give this? It's hard to say until it happens. But
I know. I mean, right now it's a bit of a long shot, so I'm going to say maybe 12.
12?
Yeah.
But if it comes true, we are going to have a party here.
DNS in 20 minutes or less.
We were talking about the CFL a bit yesterday, and you, Beckler, mentioned John Chick, who used to play for the Rough Riders for a bit.
Yeah, and then he played part of a season in the NFL, and yeah, he was a good player in the CFL.
And you were mentioning that he has 9 kids.
I didn't know that, and I was reading about him, and it said he and his wife have 9 kids together. And I was like, 9 kids?
That's a lot of kids.
Who has 9 kids nowadays?
I know. And I was thinking, though, about it a little bit more, and I was like, it's because he was playing in Saskatchewan at one time. Everybody in Saskatchewan seems to just have massive families. Like, over the weekend, I met 2 people when I was in Saskatoon, 2 different people, both from Saskatchewan, born and raised there, that were born into families of more than 10 siblings.
Wow.
One had 11 in the family, and the other was 12.
Holy crap. I went to high school with 2 families. One had 10 kids and the other had 13, I think.
That's crazy to me. Like, I know that in the olden days, of course, traditionally families were a lot bigger than they are now. But for some reason, it seems like in Saskatchewan, they've continued on that tradition a little more than the rest of the country.
I don't know if they do so much anymore. Like, my wife is the youngest of 6. That's a pretty big family.
That's a pretty big family.
But I don't know if that's as common, you know, with our generation, that people are like, John Chick's only a few years older than us, and he's got 9 kids. Like, that's fairly uncommon these days.
Yeah, I just thought it was a Sasky thing. I was like, what is it? Like, is it because you need help farming?
It, traditionally,
popping out a bunch of kids.
That is part of it. Yeah, I think it's a combination of, like, you work, you need help on the farm. Mm-hmm. There's that. Maybe a lack of birth control methods.
They didn't
have those fancy birth control methods, like pulling out.
My Jesus, please do not take his advice.
And, and also, like, the infant mortality rate was quite a bit higher years and years ago. So, like, not all of your children would survive
which is
to adulthood.
Frigged. When you think Isn't about that, well, we better have a couple extra in case a couple go.
I know, imagine having to think like that. I think it was a combination of all 3 of those things. And, you know, like, oftentimes very religious families will be larger. And I think that might tie into the contraceptives. And
I was thinking of loving it. What the hell do you need 11 kids for, you know?
What do you need all those kids for?
What do you need those for?
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Hey, Shauna.
Yeah?
What are you listening to lately?
I'm listening to this girl called Mallrat.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. She's actually from Australia, and she's 20. She's only been out for a couple of years. She has a couple EPs out, but this song here is called Groceries by her, and it's awesome. I wish that I could let it pass. I don't mind that you put it last. I made it worse, I put you first. We're laughing like it didn't hurt. I'm in the dirt, I'll make it work. So I'll go if you go, if you're cool with that. I'll go if you go, I have hope that you know that. I'll go if you go,
very nice, like, if you're cool. Clean, pure voice, hey?
Yeah, she does. It's funny, I was listening to that song. A friend of mine had it on some playlist. I was like, what is that? And it really grew on me after I heard it the second time. And then I just heard it on some of the, like, alt, you know, playlists that are coming up. And I was like, oh.
Groceries by Mallrat. She has a bit of, like, the Smokey Halsey tone.
A little bit.
That's really big right now.
Yeah.
And you're a fan, aren't you?
I'm a fan.
There's this band that I used to listen to when I was in high school. Actually, I saw them open for Finger 11 one time. And I think it was one of those deals where they opened for Finger 11 in Canada, and it was the other way around when they were in the States.
Crazy.
They're called Strata, and their old stuff is really, really heavy, but they broke up for a while, and they just released a new tune called Welcome to the West Coast, and it's kind of got me back into all this old Strata that I used to listen to. Kind of like big, spacey, open guitars.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That kind of sound, and they do it really well. So I was excited to hear new music from them. It's interesting, though. The lead singer, I follow him on some of his social media, and he is like such a dick.
Oh.
Oh my God. He's unbearable. Like, I couldn't imagine being in a band with him, but he's so talented.
Oh. So that makes me not want to listen to them. Never mind.
Sorry.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Shake off the winter rust by joining the Calgary Sport and Social Club. With a large variety of sport leagues and tournaments, including slow pitch and beach volleyball, you'll meet some new people and have a blast staying active. Registration for yourself, your small group, or full team is now open. And the earlier you sign up, the more you save. Register at CalgarySportsClub.com.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So my wife McKenna was involved in a collision in a parking lot recently. She was in our SUV, and she was backing out. And then as she was backing out, someone came along and hit her bumper.
Mm-hmm.
And we just found out yesterday that she's 100% at fault for that accident, because they say if you are in reverse, you're always at fault.
Right.
And I couldn't believe this, because when she told me about this, I was like, well, it sounds like there wasn't a whole lot you could do in this situation, because, like, imagine you're in a parking spot and there are vehicles on either side of you. You can't really see who is coming until you clear the vehicles, right? Till the driver's seat clears those vehicles.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, does no responsibility rest on the person who is driving forward in the parking lot? Like, if you see reverse lights, you brake, right?
I know. The one accident I ever got into, it was the same thing. I was backing out and I hit somebody, and there were two giant trucks beside me, and I have a tiny car. And you're supposed to, like, back out gradually, right? And, like, wait and wait and make sure you check, and then slowly and eventually, because then they say if you do it slow enough, people will see you. But if you're backing out too quickly, then people might not know that you're backing out. So
right, because if you're in a smaller vehicle like yours, what else are you supposed to do? Like, send out a spotter? Like, just sit there until the vehicle's on either side of you leave? Because here's what I'm thinking. Like, let's say you wanted to commit a bit of insurance fraud and you wanted to get your vehicle written off. What this tells me is that all you would have to do is circle a parking lot until you see reverse lights, slam into that person, and it's their fault?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
No. No, it's shocking that doesn't happen more, to be fair. Like, how many times have you been in a parking lot where people are backing out and they don't see you at all, and you just stop and wait, mm-hmm. right? Like, that happens to me all the time. But obviously, most people don't want to commit insurance fraud and get their car written off, so they'll wait. But
if you did, if you saw those reverse lights and clearly they can't see you, all you have to do is plow into them and they're at fault?
Fair. Well, it would be tough to do, because you'd get damage fixed, but you wouldn't get your car written off unless you slammed on the gas.
Crappy your ship box is, right?
So, yeah.
That also means that let's say you back into a spot and you pull out forward when you have a much better view and you get in a collision. Then fault is shared? Then you're not at fault?
Yeah.
Because you think it would be much more difficult to see as you're backing out.
I know.
This is, and you know, like, I get that fault in an accident is difficult to determine and that you can't just like fly out of a spot backwards.
It's the same as when somebody slams into the back of you, right? And the person who runs into you is always at fault because
they were following too closely.
They were following too closely. Right. But again, there are ways where if you wanted to commit a bit of insurance fraud, you could probably slam on the brakes pretty hard and make it pretty difficult even if somebody was giving you enough space to not run into you.
Yeah. Although they say like if you leave 3 seconds, is it 3 seconds following distance is what it's supposed to be, that you should be able to stop in that time. So
yeah.
This one, like it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I've been throwing this around in my brain. I'm like, I don't understand how the person reversing can be at fault.
I think it's more about just being cautious when you back up. It's the way to kind of like force that upon people because there's a lot of people who forget to even look when they back up, right?
And I agree.
Like this way, okay, you're going to be at fault, so make sure you triple check before you back out and back out slow.
But people rip through parking lots, and you really come to realize that when you're walking two small kids through the parking lot. Yeah, so, true. I mean, how often does this happen? And the person who's reversing is at fault.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
A Calgary Heritage Moment in partnership with the City of Calgary Archives.
Stories of non-European settlers are always inspiring, as these are people who had to overcome enormous amounts of adversity, often enduring hostile environments and even hostile communities.
One man who comes to mind is Calgary's first Sikh settler, Harnam Singh Hari.
In 1908, at the age of 27, Harnam decided that it was time to leave his home in India and travel to Canada.
After a grueling few months, Harnam arrived in Vancouver, where the immigration officer selected only 4 passengers to be considered for immigration, and the rest were to turn back.
Unfortunately, Harnam wasn't one of those selected. He wasn't giving up, however, so he pled his case with the immigration officer, explaining that he should be considered as he was part of the military before he left his home country.
He showed his military papers, and after some consideration, Harnam was accepted as the 5th immigrant allowed into Canada.
After a brief stint in Vancouver, Harnam then set his sights on Alberta, hearing of large plots of land that were available here.
He traveled by train as a stowaway, being unable to afford a ticket at the time, but he was discovered by police in Banff.
From here, Harnam walked the 85 miles to Calgary, walking along the railway line and surviving on scraps tossed out by passengers.
Harnam was not only the first Sikh to land in Calgary, but he was likely the first Sikh in all of Alberta.
Shortly after his arrival, Harnam worked at a sawmill for 10 cents an hour, staying there for a few months before applying for a job at a cement plant.
At first he was rejected, but in a matter of minutes, after effortlessly slinging 100-pound cement bags over his shoulder and showing an enormous amount of strength, he was hired.
This is when Harnam set his sights on farming. Thanks to his great business sense and frugality, he was able to eventually purchase his own 5-acre farm in the area of Kingsland before Kingsland was even in existence.
He continued to buy up more and more land, and eventually he farmed a 400-acre spread covering the area where Chinook Mall sits now.
By 1950, Harnam was one of the richest men in Calgary. Although Harnam himself returned to India to teach what he had learned back home, his family remained and still farms near High River to this day.
In 2014, the City of Calgary dedicated Singh Hari Park in his memory. It's located on 80th Avenue in Kingsland on land that he once owned.
A part of Calgary's heritage. For more information, email archives@calgary.ca.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I saw the first bees of the season yesterday. The first bee flew past me when I was at the park with the boys.
It has awoken.
It has awoken.
Wow.
And those are... They're different than the bees you see later in the season. They're these like fat, lazy bees. They even buzz differently. Mm. Like normally bees, like, zzz, these ones are like, I don't even know how a person buzzes slower, but it's like buzz. And you can like kind of feel it as it flies past you. What's it like to be the first bee awake in a season?
Oh, you'd be bored. You'd be like, where's the other ones at?
Is it kind of like when you are staying over at a friend's house, like after a party or something, you're the first person to wake up well before everyone else?
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, you're just like, well, this isn't my house. I don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
I guess I'll try to make coffee and figure out how the TV works.
Normally, I try and escape, but if you're boxed in, you're the first car in the driveway or something, you're like, oh, great. I have to wait for all you to wake up.
2 hours because everyone's hungover.
Yeah. Hurry up. That's what...
Well, I guess I should probably start making some honey. You don't want to sleep too late now. There's lots of work to be done.
Oh, my wings are tight. I need to stretch these out. Guys, it's none of my business. That was awful. I'm sorry.
I don't know why the first bee of the season is southern.
It's been down south or something. It
they don't fly back. South for the winter.
I know.
Should probably wake the others up so we can start doing our bee things.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast for the Calgary Sport and Social Club. Try a new sport this spring and join a league or tournament. Register at calgarysportsclub.com. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.